the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. This week, we're going to do two shows for Lifetime Income, one on Monday, one on Tuesday. Our guest on Tuesday will be discussing eating on the wild side. Of course, eating is important for your health, eating the right things and avoiding the wrong things. And that will be tomorrow here on the program. Today, you know, the world is concerned about Brexit. It's Brexit this, Brexit that. Will there be a Nexit, a Texit? And that's something we'll be taking up on the Financial Sense News Hour, a different program. But you know, there were two other significant stories that affect Americans. And they are a cost, especially for elderly Americans and retired Americans, that are extremely significant. But what's funny is no one's talking about it. Everyone's acting like there will be no change. But that's what we're going to discuss today.
Yeah, it was amazing, John, that these two stories came out this week and nobody's really spending much time talking about it, and especially in a presidential election campaign. But let's get right to it. As many of you know, if you've been listening to this program, we talked last year that the Social Security Disability Trust Fund was going to go broke in 2016. So in November, they did a quick fix that bought them about seven more years before the disability fund goes broke. And as many of you are aware, they got rid of file and suspend and file and restrict, two strategies you could use with Social Security that would really protect women who make up about 85% of Social Security survivor benefits. And so they took those benefits away, hurting women. Nobody talked about it. So the problem was last year, in order to increase Medicare premiums to cover the cost of Medicare, premiums would have gone up 52%. Now, you can imagine this year is a presidential election year, and you can imagine how seniors would feel seeing their premiums go up 52%. So that was the fix last year. The problem is we have 2017, and the Medicare trustees report just came out, which we'll get into in this segment. The long and short of it is the rules of Social Security in Medicare is they cannot increase Medicare premiums more than the cost of the increase of Social Security benefits. It's projected for 2017, the increase in your Social Security benefit will be 0.2%. Whoopee. And you're probably thinking, that's not much. Well, believe it or not, it's better than 2016 when it was zero. So the problem is with Social Security benefits only going up 0.2%, Medicare is in trouble. So the way the law works, and this began with President George Bush, there began three layers of Medicare premiums based on your income. There's those that make less than $85,000, and then there's those that make over $214,000, and there's numbers in between. Let's get to the gist of it. 70% of those of you on Medicare now, if you're making below $85,000 a year, your deductibles are going up next year and your cost will be flat. But for the other 30% that make up over $85,000, your Medicare premiums are going to be going up 22% beginning January 1st. Also, for all individuals, your Medicare deductible is going to go from $166 to $204 in 2017. That's an increase of 23%. If you are on Medicare Part D, your premium is going up 19% from $34 to almost $41. Your Part D deductible is going from $360 to $400, an increase of 11%. And if you are not on Medicare and have private insurance, next year you could see premiums are going to be going up double digits. So, John, if you take a look at this, the problem that they have is as a result of Obamacare, medical costs are skyrocketing. There are a lot of people that aren't paying for it. Somebody's got to pay for it. And so what they're doing is they're distinguishing, and this began, believe it or not, with George Bush, that there's three levels of Medicare premiums based on the incomes that you make. So, for example, if you make $85,000 to $107,000, your premiums are going to go next year to $170.50 a person from $104,000. And then if you make over 214, your Medicare premiums are going to go from $389 to $467.20. So it's not just the fact that your Medicare premiums are going to go up 22%. Your deductibles are going up 23%. Your Part D premiums are going up 19%. And your Part D deductible is going up 11%. And for the average American getting private insurance, they're going to see double-digit increases in Medicare cost premiums, whether it's deductibles or it is in premiums that you're going to pay. And then by the year 2018, all premiums, and those for making less than $85,000, beginning in 2018, the premium will go from $104 a month to $124.40 for everybody. So it's not just that the 30% that make above $85,000 are going up next year. They'll also be going up double digits in 2018.
I think what you're telling me here, Jim, is that this is really the beginning of what we've been calling here on the program for a long time, the great reneging, where government is backing to the door on a lot of its promises. And of course, the biggest promise is Medicare and Social Security. And there are others out there that will likewise suffer this, but you can see it. And what is interesting is how stealthily this is being done.
You know, we're talking here about Medicare. We're going to get into how this impacts you in your retirement, because there are a number of studies. More studies, John, are being done on retirement, with the number one big issue is medical expenses. Next to taxes will be the single biggest expense any retired couple will face in their retirement life. But the other thing that has come out, there is another study that just came out. Out-of-pocket expenses have also been going up since the passage of Obamacare. There was a study that just came out. Private insurance hospital out-of-pocket expenses. Now, what that means is when you go into a hospital and you have private insurance, let's say you have it with your employer, what is happening, your out-of-pocket expenses, what the insurance doesn't cover, has increased 37% since the passage of Obamacare. Out-of-pocket expenses are going up at 6.5% a year. And this is worse. Deductible expenses are up 86% from 2010, meaning that your insurance company or your employer healthcare is basically saying to keep the cost down, they're going with higher deductibles, which means you, the employee, are going to have to shell out more money out of your own checkbook before the insurance kicks in. Co-insurance costs are up 33%. So employers are basically saying, look, we can't absorb these double-digit increases every single year, and we need to keep some of these costs down. So co-insurance costs are up 33%. There's another tax that's going to go into effect in 2020, and that's what is called a Cadillac plan. And a Cadillac plan, what Obama said is, look, if you provide all these rich benefits, medical benefits to your employees, we're going to tax them. So what employers are starting to do is to keep the cost of their health insurance for employees, they're increasing the co-insurance pay, they're increasing the deductible to keep down below a certain level. Otherwise, you, the employee that receives health care coverage from your employer, are going to now have to start paying taxes on your medical benefits. You know, and the other thing is the Kaiser Foundation just did a study. The average annual deductible for the average American with private insurance in this country right now is averaging $1,300. And John, deductible expenses are going up at double digits every single year. It's one of the ways that employers and insurance companies are trying to keep the limit on costs down is by increasing the co-insurance and increasing the amount of copay that the person insured has to pay. So this is going to be a big, big issue. And we'll get into the trustee report here is the reason why you're seeing these costs, because Obamacare was a major escalation in healthcare costs. And simply, even with all the taxes that are put in place, they can't pay for it.
What we're all describing here is you realize how fantastic this is going. We also noticed, Jim, we talk about healthcare costs are going up. Now, prior to Obamacare, one of the things that we truly, truly did need was healthcare reform. things had to be reformed, one of which is how prices are structured, because the prices are wildly out of control in many areas. And that's what, of course, drives the cost up to the insurers, which then drives it up to the employers and to the people. So that's one real reform that we needed, which never happened. You know, it was one of the critical ones out of Obamacare. The reason we're talking as much as we do on this show about staying healthy and arresting certain diseases, your lifestyle, your diet, is that more and more, you're just seeing the beginning of this great reneging on healthcare. More and more is going to be dependent on what you and I do rather than on what providers do for us. And for seniors, just look at it this way. The cost of healthcare is the single most fastest inflationary expense in their retirement budget. And remember, Jim, that healthcare costs are going up in excess of what just inflationary costs are going up for everybody else elsewhere. So you can see that this is something that really needs to be brought under control, but that is not even on the horizon right now as far as what Congress is dealing with. And for 2017, you're going to see premiums going up 22 to 23% a year. That's next year, 2017. And this is just starting. And so the critical thing to realize right now as the game starts, so to speak, is to know what you're going to do about your own health care.
You know, it's absolutely amazing. On top of this, John, the other story that wasn't covered this week, we just talked about the 22%, 23% increase in costs, but the Social Security trustees issued their annual report. They're required to do that once a year on the Medicare trust funds. And according to the study, let's put it this way, their funds are going to hell in a handcart, but not right away. And what they said is, even with the trust fund programs that have grown to represent unfunded liabilities, right now, the unfunded liabilities for Medicare are $11.7 trillion, up $700 billion in the last year from the previous report. Now, what Social Security is doing is they're selling their IOUs, which means there is no trust fund, folks, and politicians. That was one good thing, I think, in the Republican debates this year, is a number of politicians from Chris Christie and others are saying there is no trust fund. There is none. The money's been spent. Congress spent it, and they issued IOUs. But those IOUs are being sold and cashed in. Now, the trust fund said the program will run dry, including all the IOUs, by 2034. The program paid out last year $707 billion to 48.1 million Americans. And here's the issue. The tax revenue that comes in from payroll taxes has not covered Social Security retirement income since 2010. So it's really a pay-as-you-go system. The problem is it's going to be broke. As we mentioned earlier, the Disability Trust Fund was going to go broke in 2016 until they did that last-minute budget deal in November and took away some very important benefits for surviving women on Social Security. So, John, they're also saying that Medicare Part B, Medicare Part A, Medicaid, everything is basically going to be going broke.
Now, Jim, we have to put all of this in perspective. Let's go back to President Bush's State of the Union message when he told Congress over a decade ago that we were very soon going to be going broke. Remember what the response was?
We must also confront the larger challenge of mandatory spending or entitlements. This year, the first of about 78 million baby boomers turned 60, including two of my dad's favorite people. Me and President Clinton. This milestone is more than a personal crisis. It is a national challenge. The retirement of the baby boom generation will put unprecedented strains on the federal government. By 2030, spending for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid alone will be almost 60% of the entire federal budget. And that will present future Congresses with impossible choices, staggering tax increases, immense deficits, or deep cuts in every category of spending. Congress did not act last year on my proposal to save Social Security. Yet the rising cost of entitlements is a problem that is not going away.
So if you notice at that point, Jim, all the Democrats were booing President Bush when he was trying to warn that we were headed for a real train wreck here. But if we look at it in the light of this election now, let's zoom forward to where we are here. Donald Trump is not talking about it. And both Mrs. Clinton and Senator Sanders are saying that not only are they not going to try to fix this type of thing, they're going to promise even more and more benefits. At the very same time, the Social Security trustees are saying, we are going broke and you've got to fix this. This is a real dichotomy, but it's a train wreck unfolding right before us as we watch it.
Well, I mean, you're seeing it unfold. We saw benefits taken away from Social Security beginning this year with file and suspend and file and restrict, which ended April 30th this year. Now you're seeing next year, based on your income, you're going to see your premiums for Medicare go up 22%, your deductibles go up 23%, and for all individuals in 2018, Medicare Part B premiums are going up, along with Part D, which is the drug prescription benefit. So all of this is going up. And basically what is happening here, the government doesn't have the money, especially Obamacare is accelerating the process because a lot of people are being brought into the system that didn't have medical insurance. And that's putting a strain on the system. Whenever you hear the government say something is free, take out your wallet because nothing's free. Somebody's paying for it somewhere. And a lot more Americans are going to be paying for it. So what you're seeing is the government's going to shift the cost. They're going to shift the majority of that cost to upper income individuals. And they keep redefining upper income as anybody making over $85,000. You are going to receive less coverage, meaning Medicare is not going to start covering. They're starting to restrict the procedures. They're starting to restrict the drugs. They're starting to restrict the treatments. And basically, you're going to see healthcare rationing, much as you see in Canada and throughout socialized medicine in Europe. So this is coming, John, because nothing is free. Somebody somewhere has to pay for the hospitals, the doctors, the medicines, the treatments, and all of that care. And this is going to become a larger and larger expense if you are heading into retirement. So buckle up and prepare for it because it's going to hit you. It's going to hit you this year. It's going to hit you next year and the years after, following every single year. So, John, the double-digit increases for 2017, the 22% increase in premiums and the 23% in deductibles, that's just the start. It goes up for everybody in 2018. They start taxing private medical insurance offered by the employer in 2020. So I'm really surprised that we're not seeing more coverage in this year's presidential debate because this is serious.
Ultimately, when this all plays out, if we don't wind up in totally socialized medicine, because you know that government critters will come back in and they will say, look at the mess this thing is. Now, they'll forget to point out that they created the mess, but they'll say, you need us to bail you out of this mess. And lo and behold, remember that when Obamacare went through, the ultimate goal was a single-payer healthcare system. Let's face it. If we go back to Hillary Care, oh, how ironic. Remember, that was a single-payer system. And of course, it bought the dust early on in the 90s because of the protests. But what's happening very slowly is that the burden of providing for medical care will shift away from government and back to the individual again, whether through premiums or some other methods of payment. Ironically, Jim, what began to blow medical costs out of the water was insurance. Because as the availability of money came in, remember when the first insurance policy showed up, when was it, back in the 60s or something like that? And as they began to increase the availabilities of money, doctors and hospitals and everybody began to raise their prices. So ironically, that would almost force a free market back in there. How are they going to provide socialized medicine when our government itself is broke at $20 trillion in debt when President Obama leaves office? They can't service that debt forever, can they?
No. And basically what we're going to do is there's two things I think that you're going to see happen. More and more of the burden of healthcare is going to be shifted to the individual. That's number one. Number two, less of the treatments and the options for treating illnesses are going to be covered by government. So basically, John, we're going to be going to healthcare rationing where you wait in line and certain treatments the government's simply not going to pay for. So you're going to have a two-tiered system. Those that are wealthy, just like I have a Canadian friend whose father had heart disease, and to get treated rather than wait in line, he basically had to go to the Cleveland Heart Clinic and pay for it out of pocket himself to get treated rather than waiting in line in Canada. So you're going to see more and more of that, which also means, you know, it's going to be incumbent upon the individual to take better care of themselves with diet, exercise, de-stressing, and leading a healthier lifestyle, because healthcare is just going to get, number one, it's going to be rationed. Number two, it's going to get more expensive. Number three, you're going to have fewer choices. Number four, it's going to be going up at high single digits, if not double digits, as it's going up in 2017.
You know, we've done a lot of shows here, Jim, over the past couple of years about people heading into retirement. And one of the things they don't seem to be planning for is for their medical costs and the increasing level that's going to come out of their own pockets. People are still relying on the system keeping going the way it is now. And you and I both know that just isn't going to happen.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, if you take a look at, next to taxes, the single largest expense that you will face if you are now retired or you're thinking of heading into retirement soon, is your medical cost. It's not just the Part B medical premiums that you pay. It's going to be Part D for drug prescription, and it's also going to be your Medigap insurance. And your Medigap insurance is going to be going up at high single, if not double-digit rates, because as Medicare covers less and less of the cost of medicine, whether it's drugs, operations, treating a disease, well, that means your insurance company is going to have to pick up the difference of that cost. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to raise their premiums. There was a study done by the Empower Institute on retirement. It was released. It's called An Apple a Day, The Impact of Health Conditions on Required Savings for Healthcare During Retirement. And what they did is they took a look at a vast majority of sample of people, and they took a look at the various diseases out there. There's six of them we'll talk about in just a second. And they took a look at, for example, diabetes, cancer, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cardiovascular disease, and those that smoke. And they found, John, that as a male, age 65, you can expect to pay $144,000 out of pocket for yourself in retirement. If you're female, you will pay $156,000 for healthcare expenses during your retirement. So a husband and wife between them will spend between $250,000 and $300,000 out of pocket. Now that includes Medicare Part B premiums, Part D premiums, Medigap insurance, deductibles, and any illnesses. And by the way, that $250,000 and $300,000 does not include long-term care. God forbid if one of you ends up in a facility requiring 24-hour nursing care.
How come women are more expensive than men? You would think it would be cheaper, I would think. Am I not reasoning this right? Tell me.
No, it's because women live longer. So the longer that you live, that's more Medicare premiums, that's more deductible premiums, that's more Medigap insurance. And the fact that you live longer, you're going to be paying more out-of-pocket expenses. So the key thing here is if you're in retirement, you better add $10,000 to $12,000 a year in your budget. Now, in the early years, let's assume that you're healthy. The problem you're going to have is most people think, oh, they're retired, they're in pretty good shape. But that's before they get into their 70s, when we start having, or latter 60s, depending on your health conditions, when these costs start occurring. And now you're going to see an acceleration of government cost coming from Medicare, because Medicare is going to be going broke. And so starting next year, based on your income, you're going to see your premiums go up 22%, your deductibles go up 23%. They're going up again in 2018. And so, John, at a minimum, anybody that's retiring, take your budget and add another $1,000 a month that you need to be saving and putting aside to take care of those expenses later on.
You know, you have to reckon too, Jim, that these are all average costs, and you realize you're depressing me, first of all. You understand that? So I'm going to have to pay for clinical treatment here, and that's going to increase my healthcare costs just because I'm depressed about this whole thing. These are all average costs, and if you get major diseases, especially ones that are chronic and require long-term forms of therapy, etc., the costs are going to be significantly more. And, you know, you and I have talked a lot about on this program about how few Americans are prepared for retirement at all, much less health care. So at a time when the government is running out of its ability to provide all of these things, the people are looking to government to provide it.
And that's a problem. And you can't, John, because as we're seeing right now, we've already begun the great reneging. And we're seeing that now with the cost of premiums. They're cutting back on Social Security benefits. There are a number of things the government is reneging on because it's just like the trustees report that was issued this week. And John, this was in the back pages. I was surprised nobody even covered this issue, and especially in a political campaign. But as you know, Social Security and Medicare has always been called the third rail in politics. Hillary Clinton is basically saying, we're going to make those benefits even more beneficial to you. We're going to give out more Medicare benefits. We're going to include more people. We're going to enrich your benefits, where Donald Trump says, no, I'm not going to touch entitlements. So either candidate, one's promising more and one's promising that I'm not going to deal with it. So it's amazing what happens in a presidential election year. What do politicians do? They kiss babies and hand out lollipops. And that's what they're doing this year. They're handing out a lot of lollipops, promising free college, free medical. And this at a week when the Social Security trustees basically said the programs are heading for bankruptcy, and the disability fund narrowly avoided a bankruptcy this year as a result of finagling. They were taking money out of other trust funds and moving it over into the disability fund, which was broke.
Let's take this in a slightly different slant. This all comes down to certain significance for people who are retired, not people who are prepping for it. It affects them. There's no doubt about it. They're going to have to plan for it. But what about people who are already retired as they watch this thing unravel? They had made plans based on certain givens. Those givens probably won't be there.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to start budgeting. I mean, anybody planning for retirement now, let's say you're not retired, we'll take two categories. Number one, plan on spending $250,000 over your retirement lifespan. So that's an extra $10,000 you need to include in your budget. And more realistically, it should be $12,000 because these costs are going to start to escalate. And John, by the way, that doesn't include long-term care. I had a client who basically lived in a family where mom went into a retirement home, and that was costing almost close to $7,000 a month. And what they did is they had a house, and they bought a house, and they set it up for themselves should one of them become incapacitated. So there was an extra bedroom so that the spouse that was unwell could sleep in that bedroom. And they also had a third bedroom that they could have a full-time caretaker, because that would be much cheaper than going into a long-term care facility. The bathrooms were set up for a handicap, their bathtub and everything else. So they're basically saying, look, we don't have enough money in our budget to handle if one of us should go into a long-term care facility. But given hereditary and given what we've seen with our parents who ended up in a long-term care facility, we want to prepare for this down the line. And we know we can't afford to go to a long-term care facility. So they set their home and set it up. Should one of them end up needing that long-term 24-hour care, there would be a separate bedroom. And also they would have in-house care, which would be cheaper than going to a facility.
So to come back to a theme which you have been thrumming here for as long as you've been thrumulating on the program, you should have a plan. 70% of Americans have no retirement plan, and 80% have no medical plans for retirement. You understand the train wreck. The picture we're painting here, as I said before, at the time when everybody else is going to be more dependent on government, government is basically saying it's under the table right now, but we're not going to be there for you. So that's sobering.
Yeah. And basically, there's a couple things that I would do. If you're 65, you're getting ready to retire, I would have the most complete physical that you can possibly get. And maybe before you retire, and when you have private insurance, and, you know, just tell your doctor, hey, look, I want the works. I'm getting ready to retire. Really tell me what kind of medical shape am I in? So you have some kind of knowledge of how good of a health. We did an interview last year. There's a new kind of blood test that they can do, John, that's more comprehensive on assessing heart and cardiovascular disease, not picked up in a regular blood test. So there are a number of things you can do, from, you know, prostate test, for prostate cancer and heart disease, as we interviewed Caldwell Esselton from the Cleveland Clinic last week on the program. So get a comprehensive physical. Take a look at family history. What was mom and dad's health? How long did they live? Did they have long-term care issues? Did one of them have Alzheimer's? Those kind of things. And then incorporate it into your budget. Because a lot of times people retire in the early years of retirement. You know, that's the time you want to get the travel out of the way when you're in good health. But a lot of times a lot of money is spent and nothing is set aside for those latter years when these health care costs start to pile up. And unfortunately, John, it's going to start hitting people sooner than they expect, especially now that basically Obamacare has just overburdened the healthcare system. And now we're going to start seeing double-digit increases in premiums and deductibles and out-of-pocket expenses, not just for those that are retired, but also those that are working today.
And to summarize it all up, pay attention to your health. And this is the thing I urge even my friends who are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, Jim. I know of some friends of ours whose 38-year-old son is dying right now from cancer. And so these types of cancers are actually moving down. There are certain types that are moving down in the age group. And I tell everybody, you have to take care of your health and do the screenings that are normal. Pay attention to your health. Treat your body well when you're young. It'll thank you when you get older. Number two, have a plan, any kind of a plan. You can start with a plan and then revise it as you go forward. And also, number three, start incorporating medical costs and other incidences coming from medicine into that planning. That's really important. And now every week we study cases here on this program. There are some big ones and small. Oh, wrong kind of cases. I'm sorry. No, these are real life studies of people who have been in retirement situations, and we changed the names to protect their privacy, but they were real life circumstances and how we dealt with them. Go ahead, Jim. Our couple this week is
John and Carolyn Johnson. John was 83. Carolyn was age 84. This is the second marriage for John and Carolyn. Both of them lost their spouses in the last couple of years. They've been married roughly about a year. And the issues that they were dealing with is they both had homes that were free and clear and paid for. And they're getting to that age in their 80s. Both of them had parents that lived well into their 90s, some in long-term care facilities. And so they were getting concerned about that. Obviously, with getting married, they didn't need two homes. And they were seriously looking at ways to address long-term care if one of them should become ill or need long-term care like Alzheimer's or some kind of disabling disease. And as you know, John, for a single individual, I have clients that are paying $70,000 to $80,000 a year for a long-term care facility. So they were thinking, you know, gosh, if both of us end up in a long-term care facility, that could be $160,000 a year. And especially here in California, where those costs are quite expensive. So they were concerned about, given the history in their family of longevity, and also eventually you live long enough, you're going to get something, dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever it is. So that was their main concern. And especially they wanted to leave their assets to their respective families and not basically end up dying broke. So if we take a look at John's assets, mainly a $1.4 million bond portfolio. Basically, he didn't like stocks. He had enough of that with the tech bubble crashing. And then, of course, what happened in 2007. So mainly all his assets, he had some CDs at the bank. He had a little over $1.4 million in a bond portfolio. His home was valued about $700,000. It was free and clear, no mortgage. Carolyn's assets were roughly a little over $1 million in an IRA. That was her husband's rollover from work. He had about $300,000 in her trust account. Her home was closer to $600,000. Social Security, John's Social Security was roughly about $2,200 a month. Carolyn's was about $1,700. So roughly they almost had $3,900 a month, or let's call it almost $4,000 a month coming in from Social Security. Investment income, John's was $35,000. Carolyn's was $39,000. The difference being, even though John had a little more, John had a lot of tax-free bonds, which we told him, given their tax bracket and medical expenses, he should put some in corporate. He'd up his yield a bit. So total income from Social Security and basically investments was roughly about $120,000 a year. And what they did is they said, what can we do? Because we're concerned about Should either one of us go into a long-term care facility here in California, it's very, very expensive, $70,000 to $80,000. They looked into a retirement home, and they looked at a nonprofit one, which was much cheaper. And John, the retirement home income would be $7,000 a month, or basically $3,500 apiece, and also $500,000 down, non-refundable. So basically, you put down some money, you have an equity stake in the place, and that brings down your overall cost. But the nice thing about it is they had medical facilities right there at the residence. So should one spouse end up going into a long-term care facility, let's say somebody got Alzheimer's and they had to be under care, the only extra cost would be an extra meal a day, so it'd be an extra $25. And so it just made a lot of sense. Number one, they know they didn't need two homes, because obviously you only need one house. And so basically the plan was sell the homes, and that would yield roughly about $1.3 million. It would cost $500,000 down for a facility. And this was a nice facility. It'd be a 1,900 square foot apartment, two bedrooms, a little kitchenette. And then it would be roughly about $7,000 a month. That would be $3,500 out of pocket. After selling their home, they would have an extra $800,000 to invest. Conservatively, at 3%, that would be an extra $24,000 of income a year. So their income would be $144,000. Their medical expenses would be roughly close to $80,000 for the long-term care facility. But the way they looked at it, you know what? Just by themselves, in other words, if they just got a home, kept one of the homes, let's say they sold one of the homes and lived in the other, if one of them got sick, that would be $80,000. If both of them got sick, that would be $160,000. So the solution to this was actually selling their homes and moving into a retirement home that had on-site facilities to handle incapacity, disability, or let's say a debilitating disease. And that was the solution here, because they really did want to preserve their assets and pass it on to their children. And they were able to do this with this solution. So basically, they were taking the equity of the house, moving some of that into an investment portfolio and some of it as a down payment to bring down the monthly cost of staying in that facility.
So, Jim, in this case, which was really fortunate here, not only did they handle the increasing medical costs, but then they incorporated long-term care into everything, because originally long-term care was not there and they anticipated living for a long time and they might need that. So, again, a success by having a plan and making a sober assessment of where you are and what you'll need to do. Now, remember, this week we are having two parts to the Lifetime Income series. Tomorrow, our guest will be Jo Robinson, discussing her book, Eating on the Wild Side. Your diet is a very important part of your health, and you can make incredible changes just by making incredible changes in your diet. The one thing I just encourage everybody to do is to take this seriously. A lot of people don't like to deal with their health. I mean, I didn't at one time, but then I sort of became an aficionado for it. Nutrition's a big thing. I tell young guys, especially I run into down at the gym, if you treat your body kindly, it will thank you when you're 10 or 20 years older than you are right now. One gentleman has a motto tattooed on his chest about taking all of the lambs he meets and making them into lions. You know, so we're all strong and we can accomplish things, blah, blah, blah. And the next day I said, you know, I had a thought about that, and I took this out of Proverbs. I said, always remember that a live dog is better than a dead lion. So remember, sometimes it's not important to be a lion. It's important to be alive. And there's a difference to that. And people just need to take it seriously. It's really a lifestyle. It's what you do. You incorporate it. It's not something you go out of your way to do. You do it just normally. So that's really, really important.
Yeah, and you really do need to take this seriously about your health, because it's beginning. You've seen medical insurance. I know as an employer, we have seen our medical costs just skyrocket since Obamacare was passed. And now next year, depending on your income, you're going to see your premiums up 22%, your deductibles up 23%, and everybody's premium is going up 20% in 2018. And if you work in the private sector and have private insurance, your health insurance can now become a taxable benefit. So imagine if your employer is spending $1,000 a month for your insurance, depending on your age. It's obviously higher And it's becoming more expensive because to comply with Obamacare, insurance policies have to cover things you don't need. And so that makes it more expensive, and you can't price insurance properly because you have to take everybody now. You can't price in risk in terms of the people you take on and insure. So these costs are going to start going up, and you're going to start feeling the pinch of that. You're going to see it in your paycheck in terms of your employer requiring more co-insurance on your part, or your deductibles are going to start going up. And if you're retired, you're going to see your premiums go up every single year, and they're going to start going up quite substantially as they are in 2017. Well, in the meantime, well, as always, we've run out of time. Do yourself a favor, folks. Really start thinking about this and coming up with a plan. It's amazing, the statistics. Now that we have a large contingent of us Americans heading into retirement, there are a number of studies out there. 70% of Americans don't have any financial plan heading into retirement, and 80% have no plan to deal with medical expenses in retirement. It's really time to take this seriously. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries, or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.